Yep, today I'm alone. Kosana is at school.
No one is operating the machine for you.
I'm the only.
Hey. You'll manage.
Yeah, I'm doing everything by myself. Yes. Yeah, kitchen.
You don't have a choice, sir.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah.
Let me go to search one plug. Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members. I welcome you all. In much. It's me, long same camera. Yeah, say right. Good morning, honorable members. I welcome you all. Good morning, CEO. I declare this meeting officially open. Yeah, and I want to commend the Department of Basic Education with the intake of young people that they have placed in all the schools. I don't know whether it's all over the country, but in Gauteng, they have placed young people with degrees, and those that don't have degrees, but they have matric, they have placed them in various schools. Other schools, they've taken more than 20 young people who are graduates and non-graduates. The problem that I saw during our school visit is that some Model C schools, they are resisting to implement the decisions. So they are claiming that they don't want those young people in their schools. So I think CEO is one matter that you need to take forward, because we can't afford a situation whereby the former Model C schools, they think they are living in another country, not in South Africa. If government says young people must be absorbed in those schools so that they can gain experience and be empowered, and other people just decide that they are not going to implement the policy that government has pronounced on. So we want to commend the Department of Basic Education, but also the role that was played by NYDA in ensuring that young people are able to access the information in your offices. With those few remarks, I declare this meeting officially open. And Nelisa, can we get apologies?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. MMAS, Deputy Minister, NYDA. I've received two apologies. Apology about my voice. I think I'm coming down with flu. One from Honorable Sonyana, who is not feeling well. And the other one is from the Minister, who's attending three meetings today. One is the NCC meeting at 9. The other one is African Union, it's at 10, and the last one is the special cabinet meeting, which is at 12 o'clock. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nelisa. The agenda is before you, honorable members. the agenda is about reading the list of us.
It's briefing by the NYDA Chair on a third quarterly report for 2020-2021 financial year.
So you didn't put the minutes, ne? Because I said, because we're presenting today in the House, so we'll be dealing with the minutes tomorrow, honorable members. We need to adopt our minutes. So tomorrow we'll be dealing with our minutes. You are going to get an invitation for that meeting today, so that tomorrow we will finalize the adoption of the outstanding minutes. Thank you very much, honorable members. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, honorable chairperson. I do believe the honorable deputy minister is with us. I think, yeah, I want to give to Deputy Minister to provide introduction through you, Chairperson.
Oh, Deputy Minister is here. Mm. Oh, okay. Sorry, DM.
Yes.
Okay.
Understandable, Chair. You are alone today. I heard you say that. Good morning,
morning,
Chairperson. Honorable members. We meet here today to present to the committee, the portfolio committee, the quarter three performance and financial report of the National Youth Development Agency. We meet a chairperson at the time when our country is still battling with COVID-19 pandemic. And we see this in the context of the economic recovery plan. Our young people in particular, we will have to work harder to make sure that we begin to normalize the numbers. We already had an unemployment rate which was high before the pandemic. But I think the pandemic has actually widened the challenge which we have. We have emerged from the second wave, or we are emerging from the second wave of COVID-19 and have been able to lift many of the restrictions. In December, our tax revenue use as a country were much better than expected, reducing our budget deficit. And the National Income Dynamics has reported that of the 2.8 million jobs lost to the lockdown, 2.1 million jobs have returned. Our healthcare workers are receiving the first batch of vaccines with more to follow. There is reason to be hopeful, Honorable Chair. We are a resilient people. And again, in the context of your earlier own remarks, we have to continue under the banner of the NYDA, look for opportunities for young people, even when it comes to this huge project, vaccine rollout. There should be opportunities for young people to create awareness, to invite people, and so on. Also, Chairperson, I wanted to just to reflect on what I see as a department we see as a positive trend. In the State of the Nation Address 2021, our President Ramaphosa, acknowledged the work of the Department of Small Business Development and the National Youth Development Agency in providing funding to 1,000 youth entrepreneurs in 100 days. The president further committed to the development of a national pathway management network for all young people in South Africa. We support the NYDA in fulfilling these commitments, and the NYDA will make more information available in their presentation today. The NYDA is also making submissions to phase two of the economic recovery plan and the employment stimulus so that it supports young men and young women in the recovery. And we expect further announcements in this regard in the budget speech of the Minister of Finance. As a department, we continue to support the work of the NYDA as well as the governance of the agency. An audit committee has recently been appointed to strengthen the governance of the agency. Honorable members, youth unemployment remains a national crisis that demands urgent innovation, innovative and coordinated solutions. Many young people who were previously disillusioned will resume their search for work this year. It is up to us to provide them with meaningful pathways into economic opportunities. And this agency has an important role in ensuring that we track, we monitor, and we facilitate, and also we enable young people in their search for opportunities. Of course, they have to be innovative, creative, and be generally vigilant and be the first ones to pick up opportunities. This is critical for our effective economic recovery plan as a country. I thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DM, for your opening remarks. I now give to the CEO to make a presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and let me extend the greetings to the Honorable Chair, the Deputy Minister, and all the Honorable Members of the Committee. Chairperson, this presentation is presented based on the Quarter 3 report for the NYDA for the 2020-2021 financial year, ending the 31st of December 2020. In today's presentation, we will take the honourable members through the situational analysis at the NYDA. We will look at some of the key programs and the reporting on all of those programs. We'll look at the performance information for the third quarter of the agency. The CFO will provide details on financial information and COVID-19 expenditure. And afterwards, we will have the questions. In terms of the situation that the NYDA finds itself in, we continue to function operationally as a business. We are operating on a 50% rotational capacity on a daily basis, and all our branches and all our centers are open to the public, so young people can walk in and receive services on a daily basis. Through the year, we've continued to focus mainly on relief for young people through the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund, as well as restoring all of our products and services in a way that complies with the COVID-19 restrictions as they move relative to the rate of infection. A big part of our year has been supporting the remainder of government, first on relief and secondly through the economic recovery. And we do this through our seat at the National Joint Steering Committee, which reports to the National Coronavirus Command Council. In phase one, we made detailed inputs to the economic recovery plan, which included, Chairperson, as you reflected on the 300,000 young people in the Department of Basic Education who are supporting the basic education system as teachers assistants and general assistants. One amazing part of that program is that those young people are receiving salaries at the national minimum wage, which is one of the first public employment programs to pay at the national minimum wage. And what that has done for young people and what it has done for local economies is wonderful. The economic recovery was never seen as just phase one. It was always envisaged as three phases. And we have made detailed inputs into phase two of the employment stimulus, which also equates to extending the Department of Basic Education teacher assistant and general assistant program. And we have an expectation that the Minister of Finance in the budget speech tomorrow will support phase two of the employment stimulus, as well as all of the youth components that accompany the employment stimulus. Management continues to submit monthly reports to the ministry and the department on the status of the organization. And we thank the minister and the department for their ongoing support to the organization. This includes the appointment of an audit committee at NYDA as a governance structure in order to comply with the Public Finance Management Act. And this audit committee is shared with our executive authority, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. The presidency, as the deputy minister has indicated, acknowledged in SONA 2021 the fulfillment of the commitment to support 1,000 youth-owned businesses with grant funding in 100 days. Overall, Chairperson, the NYDA budget was cut by 120 million in 2020-2021, but through that, we've continued to deliver services to young people. We do expect a bounce back in 2021-2022 as the economy recovers, and this will increase our ability to support young people meaningfully in their pathways into the economy. If we look at some of the key programs, the NYDA developed the Youth Microenterprise Relief Fund as a response mechanism directly to COVID-19 for young entrepreneurs whose businesses were affected by COVID-19. The fund was targeted at a niche community of youth microenterprises who may have been missed by other relief funds. Initially, we provided 10 million rand of capital to the fund. An additional 2 million rand has also been provided in order to meet additional demand through reprioritization. The criteria for the fund was that a business had to be youth-owned, it had to be in existence for the last 6 months, it had to provide 3 months of bank statements, proof of existence and that it was trading, and a CIPC certificate if it was a formal enterprise. The grant was capped at a maximum of 10,000 rand in order to subsidize the losses that were incurred during the lockdown. We continue to refer those who did not qualify to other funds, which included the Skuma Fund, the SMME Fund, the Tourism Fund, the Spaza Relief Fund, and the Agriculture Fund, which has set aside for young people. In total, we received about 8,558 applications, of which we could approve and pay 1,144, and to date, we've disbursed 11.8 million rand. In order to continue to maintain fairness and transparency, we publish the list of beneficiaries on an ongoing basis. The second key program, which the President would have alluded to in the SONA 2021, was the development of a national pathway manager for young people. This manifests itself in a site which is called SA Youth, which is available on both smartphones and feature phones for young people. It is developed in collaboration with the Department of Employment and Labor, the Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator, the TEPO 1 million program in Gauteng, and the South African Labor Development Research Unit at the University of Cape Town. The idea around the platform is that it is a single entry point for every young person into the economy. So any young person who is looking for an opportunity to learn or to earn, they have a single entry point through the SA Youth platform. But it is not only a supply-side intervention, it is also a demand-side intervention in that it is an aggregator of opportunities in that government departments, the private sector, and civil society has committed to loading opportunities onto the platform so that young people can be matched to those opportunities. Just to provide some level of context here is that the 300,000 young people were recruited through the SA Youth platform. So instead of filling out long forms, we are using technology as a solution to scale for young people. But equally, once a young person has created a profile for themselves on SA Youth, they are not lost to the system any longer. So where a contract might expire, we have access to them, we understand what their needs are, and we can place them in an opportunity closest to where they live. We encourage the honorable members to share through their constituencies the SA Youth platform and to encourage young people to sign up on the platform. Equally, we will continue to do our own outreach activities to encourage young people. We also acknowledge that a platform alone cannot solve all the structural and systematic issues in the economy, and we continue to fix those as well. But this is a very important step in connecting us to young people and helping us to better understand their needs as youth. In terms of the quarter three performance report, which is April to December, the NYDA has 25 key performance areas. 18 of these targets have already been met by the end of the third quarter. 5 of them become due in quarter number 4, and 2 are not met. That places us at a 90% overall achievement, and we have developed detailed catch-up plans in order to track targets which are not met, monitor them closely, and ensure their achievement by the end of quarter number 4. If we look at the detail of the programmatic areas, in program area 1, which is administration, the target is to produce the NYDA quarterly management report, which is inclusive of the performance reports, the internal audit dashboard reports, and the financial management reports. That target has been met. We continue to support our employees through implementing an annual workplace skills plan, which is submitted to the public sector CETA, and that target is applicable in quarter number 4, although we have no reason why that target will not be met. We've continued to deliver training and skills development to our internal employees through virtual formats. In terms of supply chain management, the target is to develop and implement the annual procurement plan and to produce quarterly reports, and that target has been met. The next target is the value of funds which have been sourced from the public and the private sectors to support youth development programs. The target was 40 million rand by the end of the third quarter, and we had only met 15 million rand of that target. It has proved a challenging year in terms of COVID-19 in order to fundraise. However, based on the pipeline funding that is available and the bids that we have submitted for various programs, we are confident that this target will be met during the fourth quarter. In terms of the number of partnerships established with the sector education and training authorities, that target was met at the end of the third quarter. If we continue on the program area 1, which is also administration, the number of partnerships signed with technology companies, the target year-to-date target was 1, and we had achieved that 1 by the end of the third quarter. In terms of reviewing and implementing the ICT strategic plan, that target has also been met at the end of the third quarter. In terms of reviewing and implementing the integrated communication and marketing strategy, that target has also been met. In terms of producing the NYDA strategic risk register, that process generally follows the budget and the annual performance plan of the agency, and therefore that target will be met during quarter number 4. If we move to the next programmatic area, which is the design, the development, and the delivery of youth development programs, and if we look at the first outcome, which is socioeconomic opportunities for young people, in terms of the number of youth-owned enterprises supported with financial intervention, the target has been met and exceeded. In total, during quarter number 3, up to quarter number 3, 2,074 youth-owned enterprises had been provided with financial interventions. These are 930 businesses supported through grant funding and 1,144 businesses supported through relief funding. In terms of the number of youth supported with business consultancy services, the target was 1,135. We've only met 232. We had some systematic issues which we had to resolve, but that target is starting to catch up. Honorable members, in the end of quarter number 2, the target was sitting at 0. So we've already made intrusion into the target in quarter number 3, and we'll start extending the achievement of the target during quarter number 4. In terms of the number of young people supported through non-financial business development interventions, the target was set at 2,730, and we've achieved cumulatively 1,575. In terms of the number of jobs created and sustained through supporting entrepreneurs and enterprises, we have to date, the target was 2,958, and we've exceeded that target, having achieved 3,586. The number of jobs facilitated through job placements, the target was 915. We've achieved 1,879. In terms of the young people capacitated with skills to enter the job market, as well as life skills, the targets were 370 respectively, and we've achieved 1,164 and 2,095. In terms of Program Area 3, which is the National Youth Service Program, the NYD serves the role as the coordinator as well as the implementation agent for the Youth Service Program. In terms of the NYS communications and marketing strategies, that target is applicable in quarter number 4. We've also registered 35 National Youth Service projects against the target of 15. We've achieved 28 partnerships for coordination on NYS against the target of 10. We've designed the Presidential Youth Service Program, and we expect some level of announcement in the budget speech supporting the Youth Service Program so that target can also be scaled. The Higher Education Youth Service Program, in collaboration with the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, has also been designed and shared with stakeholders. In terms of Program Area 4, which is research and policy, the number of customer surveys conducted, the year-to-date target was 3, and the achievement has been 2. We expect to catch up that target during quarter number 4. In terms of the number of impact program evaluations conducted, that target is applicable in quarter number 4, as well as the annual report on government-wide priorities. That target will become applicable in quarter number 4. We've achieved the target on the number of youth status outlook reports produced, which is generally produced in a response to the quarterly labor force survey. If we look at statistics in terms of our programs, 2,074 grants disbursed. The majority of those disbursements were done in the services sector, with strong numbers in agriculture, retail, and construction. In terms of the grants breakdown by age and gender, the majority of the grants recipients are found between the ages of 26 and 35, with 53% being allocated to males and 47% to females. We believe that during quarter number 4, that number will stabilize so that we achieve the gender balance of 50-50 between male and female. If we look at the spatial distributions of the grants, generally, the provinces with economic activity find themselves at the higher end of the spectrum, but generally, we see consistent application across the provinces. If we look at the sectors for the relief fund, we can see that the services sector was by far the most affected, 68%, with the manufacturing sector close behind on 16%. Relief fund by gender, 54% male beneficiaries, while 46% female-owned beneficiaries. In terms of the relief fund spatial distribution, I think we've acknowledged the fact that we did not necessarily do well when it comes to spatial distribution. The majority of the applications came from the more economically active provinces, Gauteng and the Western Cape, and we're really implementing, together with the offices of the premiers, strategies to look at how we can improve performance in the Northern Cape and the Northwest, because the numbers performed very poorly in those provinces. If we look at job placements per sector, 44% in the public sector, 30% in the private sector, with the retail sector, particularly around the December month, with the uptick in retail providing 13% of the job placements. The job placements are, the majority of young people are found between the ages of 21 and 30, whereas we find the group 31 to 35 is more interested in the youth entrepreneurship services of the NYDA. Job placement, 63% female and 37% male. The highest number of placements is happening in the Gauteng province, and we've also done well in terms of the Northern Cape, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and Mpumalanga. We're looking at why the Free State has such poor performance in terms of job placements, and again, we're working with the Office of the Premiers to try and correct those anomalies. Chairperson, I will hand over to the CFO to then take members through the financial information, the COVID-19 expenditure, and the audit action plan.
Thanks, CEO. Greetings to the chairperson and the honorable members of the portfolio and the deputy minister and all the colleagues. The financial information I'm going to present is a quarter three financial information. Chairperson, before I get to the numbers, just maybe a brief summary around the fact that, you know, the NYDA was then affected by another in-year budget cut of about 14 million. Obviously, in end of Q2 also gets the entity to a point where they need to then review their budgets to just actually ensure that you know, all the budgets are in line and where the shortfalls one needs to actually review. So obviously the 14 million cut actually necessitated that we also then do a budget review in the half year. As we will see on the revenue analysis, you know, the 14 million then had an effect of reducing our budgeted revenue from 421 to 407 million rand. And obviously, Chairperson, you will remember that initially our budget was 545 million, and this has had an impact of about 130 million rand that we actually have to take as a cut in the current financial year. The actual expenditure revenue was about 362 million against 370 million. And obviously, there's a 2% effect underspent on the revenue, which we are very comfortable that we will meet the targets when it comes to actually the revenue analysis. And then on the expenditure slide, we then have the expenditure by program and nature. Here, we then did a budget review, as I stated, Chairperson, where we then had to take into effect the 14 million rand cut and obviously review all our programs in terms of you know, the ability to then get to a point where we can actually be able to fully spend our budget at the end of the year. And as you can see, you know, there were some amounts that were taken from one program to another. And obviously what we actually ensured or tried to make sure that we don't do was to then actually take those monies into like administration costs. The monies were reprioritized into other programs because obviously the money still has to be spent on youth development activities. And that has had a result of in Q3, in terms of the spend, we're sitting at about 86%. And as I say, we are very comfortable that come the end of quarter four, we should be able to be close to 100% or actually exactly 100% spend on our program. And then on the expenses by nature slide, we then see that when we did the whole movement of funds and the review, you know, a big chunk of the adjustment actually was taken out of administration and overheads, and that's about 19 million rand. And if you notice, it actually went and got reallocated under grants and voucher disbursements, which then actually gives us shows that we then actually, whatever we cut from administration, we then gave back to youth development projects. And then the next slide is on donor funds. We've spent about 15.5 million rand on donor funds, and most of the expenditure on donor funds normally occur in the fourth quarter, because most of the time during the third quarter or the second quarter, we are still you know, finalizing the transfer of these funds from our donors. And then obviously the programs then start, the activity starts towards the end of Q3 as well as the beginning of Q4 to the end of Q4. So we should actually see that 16.5 million increase when we report the quarter four report. And then on the COVID expenditure, Chairperson, there were no changes on the COVID-19 expenditure from last we actually reported, because the stuff that we had actually procured and reported in Q2, you know, was enough to carry us through Q3. We didn't have to replenish any PPE in the period. And obviously with December and January being, short months based on the fact that it's the festive season, we didn't have to procure. We've only started procuring, I think, in quarter four. So in Q3, we just presented the report we had actually presented in Q2, because there were no changes. But if you look at the next slide, just for interest sake, that's the 1.3 million we had actually reported as having spent up to Q2. And as obviously in Q3, that 1.3 stood. And then if you look at the graphs where you then have a split of the expenditures, as I say, you still can see that 36% of our procurement was on youth-owned entities, and 23% was youth and women-owned, and then 41% was actually black-owned. And then if you look at the justice split, black-owned companies actually were at 96%, and only 4% was other on the distribution of procurement. And then I would like to also then get into the follow-up on the external audit findings. Chairperson, we had 13 findings from AGs, and of the 13 findings, only 3 issues in terms of this report have actually not been resolved as yet, and obviously we are targeting that some of them we will then report in quarter four. But just maybe to zoom into the ones that have not been resolved. So there was a finding around committees that are not in compliance with the charters. Now, obviously, the finding was raised by the fact that we actually did not have a board, or the board was not even creating during the 2020-2021 financial year. And obviously, this finding, we will only be able to then resolve and give satisfaction to the Auditor General that has been resolved when a board has been appointed and the committees have been properly constituted, the board committees have been properly constituted. And then if you look at the second one, the second finding is actually policies not reviewed regularly. And obviously we started the policy reviews now in quarter four. Chairperson, I would like to just, maybe a question might arise around the fact that why are we so late in terms of quarter four, but then I would like to just maybe alert the members that the audit only finished on the 31st of October, which practically means that we were already on Q3 when we actually received our audit report and our management letter, and these delays were caused by COVID-19. So obviously, all activities that we've had to do, we've had to start working on in part of quarter three, as well as fully in quarter four. So these policy reviews have started in quarter four, and obviously then that finding, we are planning on it getting resolved by the 31st of March. The last one is access controls. And access controls, that was the inadequate implementation of access controls on the Great Plains system. Now, we've reported before, Chairperson, that the entity is busy finalizing the implementation of its ERP, integrated ERP system, which will then make Great Plains not a system that we're going to use going forward. So obviously with that in mind, we are waiting for that implementation, which will then resolve this finding, because we can't then go fix Great Plains because it's a system we're not going to use going forward. I would like to just end there, Chairperson, and then obviously we'll take questions.
Thank you very much, Chair and members, for your indulgence. I will hand back to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CEO. You know, my first question, CEO, is that how do you work in the NYDA when you have many executive positions that are not filled? So how do you mitigate that one? Because as the portfolio committee, we are worried that when we look at the report, in some instances where you did not, we are not performing well, that also may contribute to that non-achievement of some certain targets. If you can share with us as the committee on how do you mitigate in terms of those unfilled vacancies.
But yes. Secondly,
when we look at the overview overview report and the work that you have done so far, there are instances where we are worried that we are not sure that is it going to be practical that on the fourth quarter you finalize everything, you achieve all your targets, and those other targets that you have planned for, which I forgot, where is it? I'm trying to read my report. Yeah. Where in the first quarter you did not achieve, and then remember those ones are recurring. So they go to the second quarter, and now we are in the second quarter, and in the second quarter you are not able to manage them, to achieve them. So during fourth quarter, are you going to achieve them? My last one is about the risk and audit risk and audit committee. That I think in the previous meeting we said we are worried that you are going to use the risk committee from the department. So maybe what you need to do, you need to share with us. And I heard the DM also said recently they've appointed the risk committee to serve in the NYDA. So our worry is that maybe what you, before we even get more worried and confused, you need to share with us as the portfolio committee on how are you working. You know, we are worried because in the previous last month, if I'm not mistaken, at DM, the chairperson of the risk committee for the department was not able to attend the meeting, did not show up in the portfolio committee. And up until now, we don't know the reasons. So when the same committee is supposed to be servicing NYDA, we're not sure whether was it a wise decision, and maybe the CEO must share with us whether in terms of their working, how is their working relationship. And then I will go straight to honorable members. I see we are too many. I don't know why are we having so many participants. We are 33. Why are we 33?
Yeah, the host must reply, yeah.
Who are other people that are here in our meeting? Except the CEO, the CFO, the DM from the Department of Women. I'm sure Dr. Benis from the Department of Women, and why are we 33, and who have allowed all these people to be part? I see maybe even our researcher from the ASC, I think, is here. But I want to know who are the other people that are here in our meeting, participating in our meeting. I'm not sure why are we having 33 people.
Madam Chairperson?
Yes.
My name is Mashile Mukono. I'm the advisor in the Office of the Minister.
Office of?
I'm an advisor in the Office of the Minister.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Yes, Mr. Fori.
I am working with Dr. Tahala in the Department of Women, Youth, Persons with Disabilities.
Oh, okay. And then, Cleveland Day. Cleveland Day.
It's Crystal, Chairperson.
Oh, okay. Crystal, you must name your gadget properly. And then,
yes, this is Labram Mutiba from the Office of the Deputy Minister, Head of Office.
Okay, I see you. On your land in life.
DG Maluleke.
Oh, okay. Okay, DG. Obanye? Obanye Balanjal. Sestigo Gutwent. Abanye about 11. Babu Yagupon. Nelison, can you please deal with that? Let me get hands from the honorable members. And I'm a South African, I'm going to warn honorable members, you must open your cameras. Honorable Masondo, Honorable Sheriff, Honorable Mpiti.
Chair.
Honorable, Natasha, Honorable Strongo, Honorable Masiko, Honorable Mamsonti. Mkweba, Honorable Mkweba. Babu Ngobo, we are the last in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, honorable members. Morning, the Deputy Minister. I would like to welcome the report from the NYDA. Last time when we met, I just had some concerns, but I was helped because the response was coming from the CEO. They were positive. Then all the youth members that were applied for the funds, they responded and they got their funds. They got trainings. Even last year, November, there was a training, or in December, there was a training in Hertzibande where they were trained about the agriculture thing, but there was the people from CETA that they are working with, that is CETA services. So today I just have some few questions just to get a clarity on them. Has the Youth Microenterprise Relief Fund made a difference to the 1,144 youth entrepreneurs that were able to secure the funds? What did the 11.8 million funds. How has the NYDA responded to the Minister of Small Business Development, Ms. Kumutso Thabeni, recent challenge to support at least 15,000 startups by 2024? What progress has been made in the development of South African youth mobility since quarter two? How is the NYDA giving effect to the economic recovery plan based on its contributions? How is the NYDA monitoring the extent to which youth are indeed benefiting from the economic recovery plan? Thank you, Chair, because the other one that I was having was the progress has been made by the NYTA since its last report, but that one I'm covered because the training has taken place in Gertrude in Mpumalanga. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. I think the first your first statement was you were commending the NYTA. That in your constituency, the young people who applied for assistance, they got it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. The next person, Honorable Sheriff.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning.
Morning.
The NYDA reaching 75% of its target is good, but we're not here to celebrate 75%. We're hoping that the NYDA can do better moving forward. I think government has become so easy to motivate and celebrate mediocre work. But nevertheless, Chairperson, here is some of the questions. I wanted to ask how the NYDA will secure 45 million rand in funding to support the youth development program in quarter four. I'd also like to know what progress has been made by the NYDA since they had agreed to the DA proposal of using the hemp industry to create economic opportunities. Chairperson, and the last thing I want to ask is what is the relationship between the NYDA and the South African Youth Council, and how do they work together, and what is the relationship between the two organizations? Chairperson, I found that asking too many questions in these meetings doesn't give us the answers that we're looking for, so I will keep to three questions now, and if there's time, I'll come back. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sheriff, I want to understand your question. You were asking them their relationship with the South African Youth Council.
Yes, Chairperson. I'm interested to know how does the NYDA work with the South African Youth Council?
Oh, okay. The next honorable member.
Thank you, and a very good morning to all colleagues. just a number of questions to the team at NYDA. The first one that I'm really trying to understand is in relation to the relief fund. And as the CEO knows, that we worked together on trying to assist some of the young people who were still in the waiting lines to receive that relief, and eventually they were able to get it. So thank you to the CEO for that. But I think most importantly, the question that still rages on in my mind is what type of planning or thinking has been done around businesses within the informal sector, and particularly assisting young entrepreneurs who are in the informal sector. And the CEO will remember that I asked this question in the last committee because it remains one of the biggest challenges that we are facing, particularly during this time where young entrepreneurs who don't have the resources to register at CIPC, do not have the resources to open a bank account, are being left behind in terms of being able to support their businesses during this time, which have also experienced just as much damage as those in the formal sector. So I'd like to know, has there been some thinking that has been done in terms of the type of assistance that can be given to informal entrepreneurs within that sector, and the type of support the NYDA can provide to those young people? Here we're talking about, you know, young people who have, you know, businesses that range from, you know, washing sneakers to spaza shops to anything really that is not recognized within the formal sector. And I think those young people have been left out, and we need to make sure that they are not left behind in this particular process. My next question is, in terms of the NYDA amendment bill, I'd just like to know what has, you know, with the exception of posting the amendment bill on the social media pages of the NYDA, what type of engagements have taken place that the NYDA has been a part of? in relation to the amendment bill. And what are some of the inputs that have been made in those particular platforms? And if there have been any engagements, I'd like to know what has been the attempt on in terms of the NYDA to get that information to areas in which young people might not have the same type of mechanisms to access, for example, the NYDA's Twitter account where they've posted the bill, or the Facebook account where they've posted the bill. What attempts have been made by the NYDA to reach those young people, in particular in rural areas, or young people who do not have the financial capacity to have data and to be able to log into those spaces to see those inputs? And I think the same applies to the National Youth Policy as well. What attempts have been made? What attempts are going to be made? Noting the fact that obviously we are still within the pandemic, and our reliance at this particular stage is still very much on a technological aspect. What are we doing to make sure that with these conditions that are in place, that we make sure that we reach as many young people as possible to receive their inputs and their comments, in particular with the national youth policy as well as the NYDA amendment bill. Chair, if I can, I won't speak to the targets because I think they've been sufficiently covered by the previous speakers. But I think in terms of engagement, the one thing that I think is something that we're falling short on is how we are able to engage young people at this time. And I think that has really been something that I believe that we can improve. And I believe that we really need to put our minds together as to how exactly we can maximize, particularly at a time where a lot of comments and inputs are required from young people on many matters that affect them directly. Many of them are being left behind from being able to contribute to those particular discussions. And so the stakeholder element of the NYDA becomes fundamentally important. And I'd like to know, what are the plans that have come through from that particular side, stakeholder relations as it relates to engagement of young people? What are the plans in terms of, we've heard that in the past three quarters, 2 million jobs have been lost. And no doubt, majority of those jobs were young people who had lost those jobs. So what type of thinking has the NYDA done about youth unemployment, particularly as it relates with the amount of job losses that have taken place during the lockdown period? What are the plans that are going to be initiated, or at least to maximize the current targets that have been put in place? Because many of them are not being met, mainly because of the restrictions. But what are the plans that are going to be put in place for the NYDA to tackle youth unemployment going forward? Thank you very much.
I think that your last question, Honorable Mpiti, must also go to the Department of Women. Dr. Benis is here. That branch must also respond to it, because their reason for being here is because they work hand in hand with the NYDA. So whatever thinking that you were asking about how are they dealing with the high rate of unemployment of young people, the Department of Women, Dr. Benis is here. I think also she can also share with us on what is it that they have done as a youth branch in the Department of Women. The next honorable member. So as they are going to respond, so we'll allow Dr. Benis also to respond to that one. The next honorable member, my apologies, honorable members, by not calling your names, because you see my system today, I don't know, it doesn't show me your hands now. It's like all your hands are down. You have lowered your hands. So that's why
we can tell that Kosana is not present today. But let me proceed, Chairperson. I am present in the meeting, but I request to switch my camera off because I'm using the gadget as my note-taking Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, and greetings to yourself, honourable members, and colleagues from the department. Chairperson, I think the honourable members have covered me on the issue of the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund and the 1,000 businesses in 100 days. But I would like to take it further, Chairperson, and request the NYDA to also brief us on the nature of support that they are giving to these youth businesses, especially, Chairperson, because we know that with COVID, came a whole lot of burden on small businesses, because you know that most of them are operating in relation to providing services that have been largely impacted by the COVID. So one would like to know, because it's not enough, Chairperson, that we are only funding these 1,000 businesses in 100 days and we tick the box. But what is important is that we must also do the follow-up and give the necessary support to these youth-owned businesses. Usually, we know, Chairperson, with history has taught us that when it comes to youth-owned businesses, there is a whole lot of risk that comes along with it, because you know that young people sometimes are chance takers. So it's important for us to provide the necessary support. The second question, Chairperson, also relates that it has been touched on the Minister Kumbuso's challenge to the NYDA to support at least 15,000 startup businesses by 2020. And it's a huge challenge, yes, but one would like to know whether the NYD has actually started to conceptualize on the implementation of such a challenge, or whether they've responded to it and they will be taking it on for consideration and conceptualization. The next question relates to the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention and the South African Youth Mobi. The South African Youth Mobi, one would like to know what progress has been made in terms of the development of the SA Youth Mobi since the quarter two. The other questions, Chair, will also be directed to the department, because the department is here, and one would like to know, maybe it's a suggestion, Chairperson, that as a committee we should at some point be taken on board on the consultations with stakeholders on the national youth policy. Maybe it might not be for this meeting, but for another meeting. And there are resolutions, Chairperson, that we have taken as a committee during quarter two. And we had requested the department to give us the detailed time framework from inception until implementation of the national youth policy. One would like to check on how progress has been made on that. And also we had requested that the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities should submit a report on the number of young people that applied for land as released by the Department of Rural Development and Agricultural Affairs. One would like to know what progress has been made in the implementation of that resolution that we have taken. Lastly, Chairperson, one would like to know, in terms of the persons with disabilities, and we know that often at times they sometimes feel, or most of the time feel, secluded from the economic opportunities, and they always indicate the issues of limited access. Now we want to know how they have also benefited from the various programs and funds of the National Youth Development Agency. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Masigo. And Natasha, have you lowered your hand?
No, Chair, I'm still here.
Oh, it's because I don't see it. Now I got it. I'm busy pressing.
Thank you very much, Chair. It is my first meeting attending as a new member to this committee. So I'm still finding my feet to most of the issues pertaining to this entity. But nevertheless, Chair, we run and shoot at the same time as revolutionaries. You there's no excuses. Mind, Chair, I think by your, thank you very much for the NYDA for the inputs. Mine is just, Chair, on the, you made an opening statement on the employment within the entities and the vacancies that they are having. Mine is just also just to add as to how is the entity going to ensure that these placements are being filled or those vacancies are being filled, as they are also sitting with a program in the entity itself to do job placements, but the entity itself in itself are incapacitated. What is the immediate plans to ensure that these vacancies are filled speedily? And then on the one of the slides, Chair, on the job placement and the construction, tourism, health and infrastructure, I see there have been no job placement in those areas. What is the entity doing to ensure that we do get placements in these areas? And so as well on the other slide on the Free State, it also show a zero indication on placements. So I just like to know what is the entity going to do to ensure that we do get placements in those areas. And then the last one, Chair, is on the COVID-19 expenditure pie chart that shows 96% of its black companies and the 4% is other. Now, what I want to find out from the CFO, what is the, I need to know what is the capital that we have invested in the 96%, because it can be that we have covered a lot of black companies, but yet the 4 have received the majority of the funding. If we can maybe perhaps narrow it down to say, this is the amount that the black companies have get, and that is the amount that the 4% have get, because now you are having a pie chart, but it's not explicitly clear that the 96% have taken the majority of the COVID relief fund and so forth. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Natasha. I think maybe when the CEO and the CFO, when they explain that one, they must tell us who is monitoring, how are those businesses doing, the ones that they have assisted. If you can share with us and on how are they doing. So that at least we must not just get a report that you have done this, but we haven't monitored whether there's value for money or there's what, and I think that one is important. But also, I want to also go back to the one of the executive posts that are not filled, which and then the CEO doesn't have the authority of filling them alone. But I want to check with the our DM, the Deputy Minister and the DG, together with the branch, Dr. Benis, on how then what plan do you have in ensuring that maybe for the NYD to be efficient and for NYDA to be effective and efficient, those posts must be filled one way or the other. Because when you look at how the delay of appointment of the board, it tells you that the process, since the process is going to start afresh, it's going to take another plus minus 6 months for those posts, for the board members to be appointed. So what plan do you have for the NYDA? Because if you look at how they have performed in not meeting their targets in other places and not spending on the not spending their budget, it's going to be an audit query one way or the other. So how have you plan to address that matter, and as the Department of Women, together with NYDA. I see the hand of Honorable Mukweba, I forgot whether Mam Sonti, you were before Honorable Mukweba or you were after Honorable Mukweba, but here, according to...
I was before, Chair.
You were before
it was the song after Honorable Shangwini, Chair.
Oh, best of Mam Sonti, Zemvawa.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Songo. Mam Sonti.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I only have two questions. One would be, Chairperson, we understand that COVID-19 came with a lot for these young entrepreneurs. Some businesses funded by NYDA were not doing well, and in that case, they had to close down. My question would be, do they stand a chance of being funded again if they want to restart their business, Chair? And then on the economic recovery plan, Chairperson, I want to know, how is the NYDA giving effect to the economic recovery plan based on its contributions, and how is the NYDA monitoring the extent to which youth are indeed benefiting from the economic recovery plan? And lastly, Chair, what progress has been made by the NYDA since its last report to the committee in Q2 regarding release of state land, training of youth in agriculture, and funding of youth enterprise in agriculture? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Songo. And again, I want to ask the Department of Women, especially the youth branch, together with the NYDA. Today the metric results are out. And I think from yesterday and last week, from last week and yesterday and today, I've been receiving calls of young people and who are complaining about NFSAS. I don't know what is the problem. What is the issue about NFSAS? What I want to check with you, do you know anything of a challenge that is faced by young people regarding NFSAS? Since you are the one who is responsible for issues of young people, maybe if you can share with us Dr. Beniz and CEO on that one. What is the problem? Because now I've been avoiding some of the calls because it's young people. My phone is ringing and ringing and ringing, and I don't know what is the issue with NFSAS. So if you can also share with us what is exactly the problem. And some are complaining about applications. So I don't want to respond to things that I don't have facts. So if you can share with us. The next one is Honorable Member, is Honorable Mam Sonti.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, Honorable Members and the Department. Chairperson, number one, the NYDA firstly has not the board yet. So how did you manage to do your work? As a result, there are too many targets which are not achieved. How do you ensure or your plan that the youth of South Africa will be accommodated in these jobs or these opportunities you are talking about? In my understanding, Chairperson, the majority of the youth are unemployed for some years and years. And this high rate of unemployment causing a lot of things to our youth. Like others ended up involved in drugs, kwinyaupe, and crime because of the unemployment. Even those who are in jobs, now they are lost their jobs due to the pandemic. And lastly, Chair, the department must not forget our young people in the rural areas, emakhaya. They are mostly forgotten in most of time in many things. And the lastly, Chairperson number four. And again, there is a habit which is happening when it comes to the project on the youth. They use it in a political interest. Like if you are not belonging to a particular party, you can't get any job from them. So I would like to talk about this, Chairperson, because it is happening day by day. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mamsonti. I think we have tried to address that one, because if you heard what Honorable Mpiti have said, he was also commending N1DA on the assistance that he assisted them for young people to get assistance from N1DA. So I'm sure, Mamsonti, that's what we need to do as members. And we need to take that information. Any member of the portfolio committee or of parliament is free to ask to come to yourselves, Mamsonti, and so that you can also talk to NYDA and say, here is the company, and this company needs assistance, and they have applied, you have not responded, so that they are able to go back and check and come back and give us a report on why is this company not being responded to. I think we've been doing that as members, but even yourself, Ma, because we must run away from, you know, I last week when I in my opening remarks, I was sharing with you as the portfolio committee that when we're doing oversight, visiting schools, some members of the community, they came to us running, saying, telling us that there's an emergency. There's a woman who's due for gestation, and she was turned away by the hospital health professionals. And I took it upon myself, and I ran around, and I called the MEC to help that person. When they got there, the person was telling another story. They were there with the hospital transport to fetch the patient, and the patient was saying, mina ngizosakusasa, mina zange ngicela abantu ukuthi angina problem. So that's why it's important for us, every time when people give us a report, we just take it there and they don't mind to call even myself or the CEO, call them, even the deputy minister, please do it. Because sometimes people, you know, they tell us things, and when you follow up on the things, you'll find that it's not true. So I'm not saying it's not true for now, but I'm saying what my request or my appeal for to members is that let's help those people who didn't get joy from NYDA, so that at the end of the day, we know exactly, we'll be speaking on facts that this is what has happened, and we have brought this to attention, and we haven't done anything. And thank you, Mamsonti. But also, what I wanted to say to honourable members, with the program that the Department of, I think it's basic education, if I'm not mistaken, the one that I was talking about, of placing young people to the schools, to be teachers' assistants and doing other things at the school, you must check in your constituencies, honourable members, especially in Mamsonti, in your areas where you have rural areas. You must do oversight, honourable members, and check whether there are young people who are being placed in those schools, because you will sit here and you won't check and you won't know whether those young people are being placed. They must not miss that opportunity. I get it, all of us are concerned that we have high rate of unemployment. So yes, Let's take it upon ourselves that we check all our schools, in all our areas, rural, especially rural areas, whether those schools have complied, you know, and are they participating in that program in reducing the high rate of unemployment. Thank you very much, honourable members. Let me get honourable Mgweba.
Thank you very much, honourable chair. Good morning, and good morning, honourable members, and the NYDA.
Mgweba.
Firstly, chair, let me welcome the report of
honourable Mgweba.
Especially,
Mgweba.
Hello. Thank you very much, Honorable. I'm not listening. Thank you very much, Chair. My problem is that I'm using one gadget, and you will understand my difficulties. Yes. All right. That's why I'm going to close quickly this video so that I must speak.
All right. It's vile ngoba uyayazi izokhlupa.
Kuna yonke.
Uthi vile.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I've said good morning, honorable members, the Deputy Minister and the NYTA. Let me welcome the report of the NYTA and understanding they are working during difficult times in our history. But, Chair, some questions have been asked by honorable members, and I've got only three questions to the NYTA. The first question, Chair, is on the person with disabilities. For example, you know, that this sector often at times feel excluded or have limited access from economic opportunities. With the number of beneficiaries that have benefited from funds, I've listened to the presentation by the NYTA, especially on the grants breakdown, and also the relief fund, and also the distribution of an
shift online. Honorable Cueva?
Sorry, Chair. I'm saying my question is directly to the NYD on person with disabilities. That is their profiling of youth entrepreneurs or youth-owned businesses by person so that they also benefit from various programs, funds, and grants. Because I then picked up from the presentation on the description of COVID-19 opportunities. The presentation spoke of youth-owned and women companies. I never heard of a company owned by persons with disabilities. How do they profile those entrepreneurs or youth-owned businesses by persons with disabilities? Mm-hmm. And the second one is on ICT. With regard to it, I've picked up of there are challenges currently experienced by the NYTA. Then is there a set of time frame to when the issue will be resolved to avoid backlog of set targets? And the last question, Chair, is on the issue that we have inputted on when you open the meeting on the placing of young people to different schools across the country. I know that, yes, some are employed to assist in terms of this period. Now that there are problems in terms of some educators, was remember some of them are at the age of 60 years, and some of them they've got commodities, and of which they are working at their homes. So then they've deployed and employed temporarily assistance to some schools, and also their youth brigade. So they've been working since last year. How do the NYTA monitor and evaluate that process in all the schools, including schools in rural areas? Because the difference, you know, there's a difference between the schools in an urban province and also in a school in rural areas. So what is their monitoring and evaluation process so that they must make sure that at least these youth, young people, at the end, they are absorbed to a permanent employment. Now that it was raised, and one honorable member also raised it, that there's job losses, and mainly those that
keep feeling honorable.
I think, Chair, you have picked up. I think they're not, they picked up my last question on the monitoring and evaluation of different schools, especially those in rural areas.
Okay. That goes also to the Department of Women. That question also must go to the Department of Women, especially that youth branch. Let's get Babu Ngobo. Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, my first question will be just to understand from the NYDA if they will be able to support 1,768 young people with business consultant services in quarter four in order to meet their annual target. And then my second question is on the document on the Higher Education Youth Service Program. And I just want to understand what does this document entail and who were the stakeholders that were consulted. Then my next question, I just would like to know from the NYDA if they will be able to facilitate 1,621 jobs through placements in quarter four, which is almost double their targets per quarter. And lastly, Chairperson, on persons with disabilities, I would like to know if the NYDA is in a position to tell us how many young persons with disabilities benefited from their programs and from their funding schemes. And also to request the NYDA to always give us a breakdown of the number of persons with disabilities, of young persons with disabilities who benefit from their programs. I know that they always give us the gender breakdown. They tell us how many male beneficiaries are and how many female beneficiaries are. But just to request the NYDA to also give us an indication of how many young persons with disabilities benefit from their programs. Thanks.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I don't see any hands. I think Babu Ngobo was the last one. I can now hand over to DM if you want to start, and then CEO. CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for all of the members' questions. Chair, I will start at your question. So let us start at the question around the executives in the organization. Yeah. So there's a couple of elements that I want to touch on when I respond to this question. And I'm also perhaps as well seeking the committee's advice on some of the issues I'll raise in my response. So firstly, I think the non-filling of the executive posts during this financial year was a very much cost-driven issue. Had we filled the vacant posts at managerial, senior managerial and executive level, we would have exceeded our budget for the financial year simply because the cuts to the budget were so big as a result of COVID-19. So there was a cost element. But what we will see is a cost recovery in the new financial year and the potential of additional money from the stimulus as well. So the cost issue becomes less of an issue from the 1st of April 2021. Two, Chair, is the issue of the NYDA Act says that the CEO appoints executives in consultation with the board. Now, at this point, there is no board of directors. Now, legally, one could say that as the acting accounting authority in terms of the PFMA, the authority has been delegated to the CEO, and maybe this is where I seek the committee's advice on whether we should pursue a legal opinion. But I think it's one, a legal issue, but it's also an issue of trust in that I would not want an incoming board to feel as if I usurped their authority to be consulted on certain appointments, and I used the period without a board in order to drive a rushed appointment process. And then maybe the third issue to raise is to say that, you know, tomorrow in the budget speech, the Minister of Finance will once again illustrate the public sector wage bill. And I mean, I think we've all heard things like the fact that there's a wage freeze for the next 3 years that has been penciled into the budget in order to manage the compensation costs. Now, in the context of information like that, the message we are getting from National Treasury is that even though our compensation costs remain less than the average that government pays, we must still do more with less. So those are the three broad issues in my mind around executive appointments. And maybe, Chair, I'm seeking the committee's advice in order on the best way to approach this issue. In terms of the achievements of targets in relation to lack of executive capacity, we are pulling together as a managerial team to push ourselves. The executives are really hands on deck, the ones that remain in the organization, and they are taking on additional responsibilities in order to ensure targets are met. And I do acknowledge that there are certain targets that are not met, but we are working on catch-up plans in order to meet those targets. And I do have a quiet amount of confidence that given the fact that most of the restrictions in the economy are lifted, we will be able to meet those targets. Thirdly, Chair, to address your issue of the Audit and Risk Committee. Now, I just want to be able to again deal with this issue. And again, I'll come to the issue of the board, because largely my role has become very conflicted in the agency, in that I am expected to do both the management and a governance role, with the support of the portfolio committee and with the support of the ministry. But the Audit and Risk Committee, the Auditor General, when they were conducting their audit, brought to my attention that for the financial year that they had audited, there was an audit committee, but they are seeing a gap emerge. And that the PFMA is clear is that every organization must have an audit committee, and that audit committee must meet at least four times a year. And that they held a concern that the organization would be operating without an audit committee, and this could be a potential adverse finding against the agency. Now, it is difficult for me to appoint an audit committee because the audit committee will exercise oversight over management's work in the organization. I then explored potential options with the department through the DG's office and through National Treasury. And the recommendation was made that for the interim period where there is no board, that in other government departments and public entities, a sharing of audit committee had been proposed. And both the department and National Treasury was comfortable with that approach, in that the audit committee understood the oversight role in the context of the department's mandate, and therefore they would be best placed. That audit committee came into effect in the month of November 2020, and they were inducted during December. And I think, Chair, maybe it would be appropriate that in the next sitting of the PC, the Audit Committee Chair accompanies me so she could potentially give more clarity to what their role is as a governance structure. But the message I'm trying to put across is that in the context of the situation we are in, our options are very limited as it relates to an Audit Committee. But once again, I'm open to taking advice of the chair and of the committee chair. The last question in relation to you, Chair, was the National Student Financial Aid. Yes, Chair.
You must share with us that in terms of that arrangement, according to the structure of your organization or the way your organization is, which is your NYDA, are you satisfied as an executive authority of that arrangement?
Yes, Chair. And under the circumstances, it is the best arrangement we could come to. And I also want to say that the Audit Committee has provided support. And also the department, by virtue of as an executive authority, they also are granted a seat on the Audit Committee through observer status. So both Dr. Bernice and the Chief Financial Officer of the department will sit in the Audit Committee of the NYDA. So there's also departmental representation, and we are comfortable with that arrangement, Chair.
Okay.
Your last question, Chair, was in relation to NASFAS. Yeah. And generally, this is the time where NASFAS is granting applications to young people. So based on the applications that young people made in the last year, now that their academic results have been finalized, NASFAS will be finalizing their placements of those young people into the higher education sector. Now, there's two issues that I wish to address, Chair. One is we still have an excellent working relationship with NASFAS. So if there's any issues that young people are facing, feel free, Chair, to yourself and to the members to escalate those issues to myself, and I will ensure that it's passed on to the relevant authority at NASFAS. But two, Chair, is that they are worrying signs which are emerging from the budget process. Yeah, is that because of the impact of COVID-19, because of South Africa's debt issues, there are major cuts to the budget across the board. Yeah? Most departments and entities are facing 6-7% budget cuts. And NASFAS is not spared from that. Now, if you are active on social media over the weekend, there was a circulation of a NASFAS letter which indicated that funding is being cut to certain qualifications, certain diploma qualifications, to teaching qualifications, to nursing qualifications. And NASFAS has said they will respond, but they verified the authenticity of that letter. But these things are concerning as we look to the long-term impacts of South Africa. You know, I think the NASFAS issue it cannot be separated from the fees must fall issue, you know, and it was a generational struggle that was fought by young people. And to some extent, it feels like those struggles are being reversed. Yeah? So as more information becomes available, we will brief the portfolio committee chair. But the initial signs are worrying about the deeper impact of these cuts. I mean, you're even looking at things like freezes to social grants, you know, as I've mentioned, freezes to public sector wages, you know, and the long-term impact of these things, I think we need to be aware of them as a youth development agency, but also as a portfolio committee.
Just hold on, CEO. I see DG's hand is up. DG?
I'm muted. I wanted to add to what the CEO has said about the ARC, that also they were approved because we had to do an application.
Open your
video,
your camera, DG.
Yes, I was saying we had to apply to the National Treasury and the Auditor General for them to allow the ARC also to assist the NYDA with auditing processes. So it was done officially.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you, G.
CEO?
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, DG. I'll then move to Honourable Masondo's question. So in relation to the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund, the difference it has made in the lives of young people. So on an ongoing basis, we receive letters from young people indicating the support offered by the relief fund and how it has helped their business. What we also track, Honourable Masondo, is the jobs that were saved as a result of the Enterprise Relief Fund. And you'll see in the report, we've indicated under jobs created and sustained, the number of jobs that were created and sustained as a result of the relief fund grant that was provided to young people. As a third layer, what we're adding is we're doing now a comprehensive monitoring and evaluation report of the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund in the form of a research report that will indicate the positive impact as well as potential any negative impacts of the relief fund on the youth enterprises. And we expect to publish that report by the end of March 2021 and to share the report with the committee once it is approved. Secondly, in relation to the target that the Minister of Small Business has set for us, we are consulting with our department, the Department of Small Business and the Presidency, on how we can fulfill the commitment of the Minister of Small Business. And we expect to present that to you when we present our annual performance plan 21-22, as well as the remaining strategic plan for the medium-term strategic framework. As I move to Honorable Impiti's questions, the support to the informal sector. So I think we know the role that the informal sector plays in the economy. And I think the number of young people that are actively participating and the number of livelihoods that the informal sector supports is massive in nature. So I see our role as being potentially three phases, right? One, we're really trying to drive young people towards the SA Youth site. And it really is an opportunity to use technology for the benefit of development in the country, because in understanding where young people are, in understanding their needs, it allows us to design the right kind of strategies to be able to support them. I think that's the one element. Two is we are embarking on processes with the Department of Small Business and the DTIC in order to help informal businesses to formalize themselves. What do I mean by that? Not to burden them with heavy regulation, but where an informal business is supported to open a bank account or to be able to register themselves or to register for UIF, for example, we enable that small business or that micro business to be able to be sustainable into the long term. So instead of burdening them with regulation, they enjoy the benefits of protection that come from the UIF. They enjoy the benefit of support from having a bank account and from having a CIP certificate. And I think part of the commitment to youth enterprises is to enable them to move between the lines of informal and formal so they have more access to structured support of government and of the private sector as well. And very much so, our strategies are designed around informal businesses in mind. So everything that you see on the APP is targeted at how do you engage the informal business sector. And this also goes to working with local government. I mean, I think a lot of the issues were around local government regulations. So working with COCTA and how we can support young people, SALGA as well, in unlocking the benefits for informal businesses. We need to stop treating informal businesses like they are non-compliant in nature. We need to treat them as part of the economic recovery of South Africa. In terms of the NYDA bill, our view has been that the NYDA bill is a very important process and that we fully support the NYDA bill process. We, however, are not the lead department in the NYDA bill, but we are a support function to the department while also noting the fact that to a degree we are conflicted because it is our legislation. Yeah. So we have offered collaborative support to the department in the NYDA bill process and our full support in that regard. We have submitted formal inputs to the NYDA bill process before the closing date. And where I was requested to do so, many organizations, civil society, political, business asked me to come and present to them on the NYDA bill, on the NYDA as an organization and what were our views on the NYDA bill process. And I've exceeded, and my team members have exceeded to those requests, so that we widen participation on the NYDA bill process. I think reaching young people is always a challenge made harder by the fact of COVID-19. I do think that the department has extended its staff as far as possible in consultations. They've also come up with innovative ways, like a WhatsApp line for young people to provide inputs, you know, using social media channels in order to obtain inputs. So I think they've widened as far as possible within the current context. And I think the number of youth organizations that have participated and those that have constituencies that have participated has shown how wide. And I've seen a great degree of interest from young people on the NYDA bill. I think Honorable MPT also raises an important point about engagement of young people. And I want to encourage Honorable MPT to really check out the SA Youth platform. You know, I think it really is a game changer in terms of how we engage young people in South Africa. You know, a big barrier was overcome last week when all of the telcos agreed to zero rate the platform, which means, and also it's accessible from a smartphone or feature phone. So we're not thinking about this from a privileged position that only those young people with Apple phones or can access. It's literally an access point for every young person. And we have to think about South Africa as a modern day economy and using technology to scale. But what the platform does is it's not like you just register and you'll hear from us maybe 2 years' time. It's a two-way communication line. So every time a new opportunity is loaded, you get a notification, you know? It's almost like a Facebook for opportunities for young people. And it offers a new era for us to engage young people in South Africa using technology as an enabler. The last question from Honorable MPT was around the jobs that were lost in the economy. So I do think that the job loss was massive, right? 2 million jobs lost. But I do think there's positive signs in the economy that the recovery is on track, right? I mean, there's two pointers to that there. It's one that the tax revenues, as the DM mentioned in December, widely exceeded anybody's expectations. And that was largely driven by the fact that we were on level one for most of the fourth quarter, increased domestic tourism. So that drove that increased tax revenues. But equally, the National Income Dynamics Study released their findings. And they said that out of the 2.8 million jobs that were lost, 2.1 million jobs have come back into the economy. And that's a 75% recovery while we're still in COVID-19. So those are encouraging statistics. And I'm quietly confident about the stats that we're going to see later today in the quarterly labor force survey, because I'm quietly confident that the recovery is starting to gain traction. Yeah? But we know that youth unemployment still remains high, and therefore innovative solutions are important. So when Honorable MPT refers to what are those solutions, is that it can't be a one-size-fits-all, right? We've got to use technology through the SA Youth platform. We've got to support the township in the rural economy through the Department of Small Business, working in collaboration with industry players. Three, we've got to look at public employment, the Department of Basic Education's public employment program. We've got to look at a revitalized national youth service. We have to also look at skills development. We know the sectors that are fast growing, global business services, installation, repair and maintenance, tourism, once the economy is back to through or which it bounces back after COVID-19. So when we present our APP to you, we'll be presenting the wider strategies of government to solve the youth employment crisis. But I'm excited. I think we should watch this space, because I think we really have a window of opportunity to rebuild our economy around young people. To move to Honorable Masiko, the 1,000 businesses, a big part of our thing is to provide support for 2 years post-disbursement. So it's not like we give the funding and then you're on your own. We understand it's a difficult time for young people, and we continue to provide aftercare and support to those young people, mainly on the access to markets, because that is the most difficult barrier for young people to overcome. A similar question to Honorable Masondo. We're working with the Department of Small Business, and we have engagements next week in order to finalize how we're going to reach the target of 15,000 youth-owned enterprises. As it relates to the youth employment intervention, I think the SA Youth was a commitment of the President, and there'll be a formal launch of SA Youth in the next month or so, and we'll share the details of that launch with the committee members. But I think also when we present the APP, we'll share some of the wider targets for 21-22 and over the medium-term expenditure framework for what we would like to achieve on the youth employment intervention. As it relates to young people living with disabilities, I know that's a common question that came from a few of the members, and I must offer my apologies. We should be reporting the numbers of young people with disabilities. We'll make sure that it is included on the next report that we provide to the committee. But it's to say that we adhere to the government target that of all products and services, 7% must be offered to young people living with disabilities. But equally, we're looking at extending the relationship in order to, for example, support the disability sector better. So we're working with organizations like Deaf South Africa, Disabled Youth South Africa, in order how we can help them build constituency support for the work that we do and the work that they do, so that more young people are enabled to access products and services, not just of the NYDA, but also of the wider government. To move to Honorable Sharif's questions, 45 million rand shortfall in terms of fundraising. Yes, it has certainly been a difficult year. However, there is two large projects which are in the pipeline. Let me say three, actually, in the pipeline. One is the European Union has granted preliminary approval for a project of about 20 million rand for the NYDA as an extension of its grant funding program. And that agreement was signed during February and will contribute towards our fundraising target. Two, the United Nations Development Program has also committed support for our jobs and youth entrepreneurship program, also equating to about 20 million rand. And lastly, we have two CETAs, which have also committed to funding, and those will be signed off during the fourth quarter, and that will enable us to meet the target. The question related to hemp is important. I know we've discussed this before in the portfolio committee. So hemp in its current status is classified as a prohibited prohibited agricultural substance or plant. And therefore, it is not illegal, but one must obtain a permit from the Department of Health in order to produce it. Now, what we do is we support young people with the application process in order for them to be supported where they may want to participate in the hemp industry. But there's also a broader conversation in that as part of the agricultural sector master plan of the DTIC, hemp is one of the industries that is being considered, and the President in SONA committed that those master plans will be finalized. We participate in those master plan processes from a NADLAC perspective, and we support the resolution that hemp should be removed as a prohibited substance in order for it to unlock growth in the economy, particularly in rural farming communities.
CEO?
Yes, Chair.
Our concern as the portfolio committee is that, remember, when they apply for their licenses, as you are saying, you are assisting them in terms of those applications. What you are expecting from you is that you need to follow up and ensure that those young people, their applications are processed and they get those licenses. They must be given a priority as young people that they get those licenses, because our fear is that big business will be the one who will be applying and getting those licenses, and the disadvantaged young people,
sometimes they cannot get that opportunity. So the NYDA and the youth branch from the Department of Women and Youth and Persons with Disabilities, you are the ones who must assist young people, that those applications are followed by yourselves and ensure that young people, they do get NABO first preference in terms of those licenses. We must not get a situation whereby young people are not being prioritized, but, you know, it's the very big business who still benefit in that opportunity. In rural areas, there've been young people who've been farming it or planting it or whatever. We are saying our young black people must get that opportunity. They must get those licenses. They must not be deprived because they are told that maybe they don't meet what. Please assist them that they must get, they must participate in that location, that space. It must not be monopolized. That's what is the concern for us as members. Don't leave it on the application trailer and not follow up on what is where is the process and what is happening. We want you and the Department of Women to come back to us and say, this is what has happened. And you must also even show the people of South Africa that indeed, young people of South Africa, they got the licenses. This is how we're going to assist them further, together with the Department of Agriculture. Thank you very much.
That is noted, Chairperson.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Then there was a question related to the South African Youth Council. Now, the South African Youth Council is a civil society organization, which is considered as an umbrella body for youth organizations in the country. The NYDA has had a relationship with the South African Youth Council through an MOU since the inception of the first board of directors in 2009. The South African Youth Council has a seat at NEDLAC in terms of the community constituency. So they have a standing seat at NEDLAC, and they represent the youth sector at NEDLAC. In 2009, a decision was taken that the NYDA will provide office space to the South African Youth Council at no charge, and that agreement has remained in force till today. Then, Chair, to move to the next question is in relation to, let me just find, sorry, I've got many notes here, Honorable Inhlangweni. So in relation to job placements, I think I did highlight during the presentation that there are sectors which are taking longer to pick up. So tourism, for example, there's more jobs being lost in tourism than gained. But we're working with the sector. We work with the sectors through the relationships we have. We work through NEDLAC. We work through organized business, organized labor, to see how we can support the various sectors in placing young people. Provinces is the same. We work through the Office of the Premier to say we're not getting support here are some of the issues, and we have those kind of relationships within the regions and within the provinces to address issues when we pick them up and as they come about. Yeah, I think Honorable Inhlangweni, I also responded to the question of executives, is that if government is not hiring people, then how can we also expect the private sector to hire? In relation to the question on COVID-19 expenditure, I'll allow the CFO to take that one. Then Honorable Hlongo asked a question regarding the restarting of businesses. So many businesses would have benefited from an NYD grant. They've been adversely affected by COVID-19. They may or may not have received support through relief. They are welcome to reapply at the NYD, you know, and we welcome them to say, if you're an accomplished business person and if your business was succeeding and the only reason you had a downward trajectory is because of COVID-19, surely you have the capacity to pick up. And we would be 100% behind supporting those young people. I think both Honorable Hlongo and Honorable Masondo had a question regarding the economic recovery plan, right? So the economic recovery plan is crafted by the presidency, but with input from across government. And we represent the youth input to the economic recovery plan, and we continuously make inputs there. If we look at the economic recovery plan and what it did in the period between October and March, one, the Department of Basic Education program was by far the biggest. Out of the, I think, 12 billion allocated, 7 billion was to the Department of Basic Education. And 300,000, it benefited entirely young people. It was a 100% youth program. But if we look at the other programs as well, support to small-scale farmers through the Department of Agriculture had a set aside for young people. Extension of the social distress relief grant. Out of the distress relief grant, the 5 million young people who are benefiting, 2 million, 40% are young people. Then support to the early childhood development sector through the Department of Social Development. ECD, many of the ECD practitioners are young people, for one. But also we know that although ECD benefits young people who may be below the age of 14, we know the long-term impacts of early childhood development. So you can see that the economic recovery plan is very much centered around young people. Yeah, they play looked at through a youth lens. So I think that that's important to illustrate. Youth in agriculture, we support at three levels. One is partnerships with the private sector, for example, the PPGI, partnerships with the public sector, the AgriSeta, for the skills development of young people in agriculture. And these things are not necessarily separate from each other. So there's the skills development element. Secondary is the support through funding, through the Department of Agriculture, the Land Bank and NYPA, to support young people in agriculture with the necessary capital requirements that they need to establish agricultural enterprises. Three is working with local government, municipalities, to release state-owned land, which has been identified for agricultural purposes, to young people in order for them to be able to farm. Yeah. So really, our agriculture role is played across those three aspects.
But what we want to see as the Portfolio Committee, as CEO, we want to see NYDA and that branch, a youth branch in the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, having a campaign of trying to introduce agriculture to young people of South Africa. So that, you know, they must not think that agriculture is something that will just dirty your hands. They must think of embarking in agriculture, participating in agriculture, understanding, you know, South Africans, they will think agriculture is meant for certain individuals or certain people, or it's like you know, when you are in agriculture, that mentality, it's like it's for lower people. No. You need to embark in a campaign whereby you go all over, CEO, whether it's you use social media, whether you use a TV or you go on radio, talk about the importance of agriculture, that young people must participate in agriculture. So that, you know, that campaign can create a lot of economic empowerment for our young people, rather than concentrating on the ones, the few ones that are there in that space for now. But let's open it. Let's educate our communities, our young people, who see how important is agriculture. I think our point of departure is the Portfolio Committee, when we're emphasizing to yourself that I think agriculture for us is one priority project that you need to consider as NYDA. That's all what we want to see. We want to see you talking there about agriculture. You must do something.
Chair,
we want to see you doing that.
we'll ensure that there is a massified campaign. We've noted that, and we'll implement the committee's recommendation. I also wanted to add one last point, is that there's an MOU that is signed between rural development, land reform and agriculture, and the department in NYDA, whereby there's a steering committee which is directing the sector's efforts at agriculture to ensure that youth, women and persons with disabilities are represented.
Thank you.
Chair, if I move to then Honorable Sonti's questions around the board. So how have we been operating without a board? In terms of the PFMA, I've been appointed as the acting accounting authority. The department and the ministry provide support to the NYDA in that we are required to report transactions above a certain threshold to the department. We are required to submit monthly reports to the department. The youth branch provides ongoing support to the NYDA. As we've also mentioned, an audit committee has been appointed at the agency to strengthen the governance of the organization. And then as well, the portfolio committee provides a layer of support through the ongoing briefings that we provide to the portfolio committee. Targets not achieved. We continue to be focused and have implemented catch-up plans. And we are confident that by the end of quarter four, all of the targets set for the financial year will have been achieved, especially given that we've largely moved out of the severity of the COVID-19 wave. In terms of being an organization that is accommodating of young people, I fully agree, Honorable Sonti. We want to be universally accessible to all young people. But it is also important to recognize that the NYDA is not the sole institution responsible for young people. Every single government department, every single entity, including civil society and the private sector, must have a youth focus, because we are a youthful population in South Africa. Yeah? It is unacceptable for any department not to have a youth program attached to them. Yeah? And I think our role must be in terms of pushing government and pushing other sectors of society to make sure they have a youth focus in everything that they do. Equally, I fully agree with you in terms of rural areas. We have grown the network of branches of the NYDA. But what you'll also find on the SA Youth app is we've gone and mapped every single place where a young person can receive a service of government, whether that be a SASSA office, a NYDA office, a public library, a school, anywhere, a community college, a TVET college, where young people... So imagine being able to find in one place a directory of where you're closest to where you live, you could find, and how much that could unlock for people who are living in the rural areas and young people who are living in the rural areas. Yeah. In terms of political interest, I think what we've really tried to do, Honorable Sonti, and if you were in the webinar we had with the Department of Small Business and the Minister of Small Business, we publicly released the names of the 1,000 businesses. We publicly released the names of the Micro Enterprise Relief Fund. And we do that for everything. We want to be transparent. So we want young people to know that you don't have to know somebody or belong to a certain party to benefit. We are an agency for all young people in South Africa. Then to move to Honorable Imgweba's question, disability I've responded to. The monitoring and evaluation of the DBE program and Youth Brigade. So just to give a sense, the young people were recruited through the SA Youth platform for the DBE project. So the budget was granted for the program and all of the recruitment. In order to qualify for the program, every young person had to register on the SA Youth platform. And then the names of the schools closest to them were given to the schools of the list of the young people that applied, and the schools made the appointments of the 300,000 young people. Now, that recruitment process was done with no forms. And in November, with the first month, the young people were supposed to receive their stipends, 285,000 against the target. So almost 95% of the target was achieved in the first month. In January, 303,000 young people received their monthly salaries. So you can see that using technology, how we've been able to support the department in implementing this program. And by the way, the teacher unions, for the first time, teacher unions for a long time opposed a program like this. They support this program, yeah, because I think they see the benefit to existing teachers and they see the benefit to young people of this year. But also, through the SA Youth platform, we are able to communicate with young people. So we only know that they are receiving their stipends because they were able to send them surveys on a monthly basis. We're able to ask them how they're finding the work that they're doing. Is it fulfilling? Where are they placed, you know? So we're getting real-time feedback from these young people, real-time monitoring and evaluation, and we'll be excited to share the findings from the program with you once it concludes. Yeah? And then lastly, Honorable Ngobo's questions, I think on the business consultancy services, given the lifting of the restrictions and the availability of staff, we should be able to meet that target by the end of quarter number four. In the higher education sector, we consulted the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, the Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as student representative organizations. Chair, I think that brings me, I want to give to the CFO to answer the one question on COVID-19, and then perhaps to the DG and her team as well, if they'd like to respond to any of the questions. CFO?
Thanks, CEO. I think on the issue of the percentage and the amount for blacks, the 4% versus 96%, we actually calculate the percentage on value and not the number of individuals. And obviously, if I have to put it in value, and obviously I think maybe in the next presentation, maybe for Q4, we'll then put the value so that, you know, it's clear as to how. But just looking at the total of the 1.3, 96% of that was 1.2 million, which means the other, which is 4%, was about 52,000 rands and 536 cents. So the percentage that we put in there is actually based on the value rather than the number, because I don't think the percentage of the number, and because that's why it says procurement. The percentage wouldn't help if it's just the number of people. We would like to actually be presenting the value. But we'll actually put it clearer, I think, in the next presentation. Thanks.
Thanks, CFO. Gigi or Dr. Benice, I'm not sure if you'd like to add anything.
Thanks, CEO. I think there's just few areas where I just wanted, I think you've responded to them, but just as a matter of emphasis on the filling of vacancies that the National Treasury didn't just cut a budget from goods and services only, but they also cut on compensation of employees. So some of the posts can be filled because the National Treasury has cut the money. But you've responded to others. Also, the issue of the agriculture, young people getting certificates and being assisted, you've responded to that, that we signed an MOU with the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, and there's a steering committee consisting of the two departments and the NYDA. It has a long program on which to cooperate. It's a distribution of land, awarding of those certificates, but also the grants, how to distribute grants, also public education, how do we then invite women, youth and persons with disabilities to apply if there's anything. So all that is covered. Yeah, and then you've covered the issue of the AFC. The other thing that I wanted also to talk to is the issue of the NASFAS, because the chairperson was saying there are challenges. The department also is working on signing an MOU with the Department of Higher Education and Training. When we first discussed with the DG there, we were looking at violence at higher education, but then we've since looked at how do we expand it. So we've been discussing even issues of NASFAS, where I inquired what were the challenges at NASFAS. We just said, apart from the fact that they're still considering the applications, and there are diplomas that are no longer going to be cut because of the budget cut by the National Treasury. Everything is in order. It's just that the process of selecting is taking long. So I think there are not problems that are debilitating NSFAS. It's just that the everyday problems, sometimes their system would crash because of the many applications, and also the fact that the results came out yesterday, so it makes it very difficult. That's all.
Yeah, done, DG?
Yes.
DG, I think DG, what needs to be done is that you need to communicate the areas where NSFAS is no longer going to fund, so that it must not be like everything is like it's no longer going to be supported by government. Because you see, when government does not communicate amanga neqiniso akubi nomehluko, so it's important that you yourselves you communicate, whether NYDA or yourselves, you need to come, or the Department of Higher Education or National Treasury, but one way or the other it must be communicated to the citizens, so that there won't be any unnecessary revolts by students, because some other opportunists, they take advantage of such situations. So I think communication is very much important. Yeah.
Yes, we will work on that. Thank you.
Okay. Before DM, I wanted to hear Dr. Tupenis. Because DM will be the last. Dr. Penis, can you respond?
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members.
Morning.
And colleagues. I would like to respond on some of the questions. First, Chairperson, I'm going to start off with the comment which you made regarding attracting young people in agriculture. Also to say from the department side that we have actually noted the concern which you have raised, and we will work with the NYDA on massifying the campaign. We recently as a department had a meeting with female SRC leaders, and we have agreed that we are going to have a joint program of action on how they can assist us as a department on being ambassadors to profile, which we are doing, but then also to be a link between us and students in higher institutions of institutions of higher learning. So I think we will make sure that the issue of profiling agriculture should also be part of that program of action. We had agreed with them that one area that we are going to be looking at is to attract and young people to participate in STEM careers, but then also to take the campaign forward even to basic education, where we are actually attracting young people to take STEM subjects. So we will actually also include agriculture, because anyway, agriculture is considered one of the STEM subjects, taking into account agricultural technology. And I also would like to respond on the issue of the MOU with Department of Agriculture and Land Reform, just to also emphasize that indeed we are part of, we are represented in the steering committee, and tomorrow we are going to be having our first steering committee meeting, and we will make sure that we actually raise, some of the issues or the concerns that have been raised by the portfolio committee in that meeting of tomorrow. And there were also some of the comments which were asked, like in relation to the National Youth Development Agency Amendment Bill. Let me say that we are busy with the consultation process, and then the consultations have been very broad. In addition to taking our campaign to social media, we have also electronically circulated the NYDA amendment bill to all youth focal points at national government level, also in using our database in civil society as well as private sector. And we've also circulated to provinces. Not only have we made circulation, but then we are having a hybrid sessions. Sometimes we have got virtual sessions. Sometimes we also have physical sessions with the stakeholders. For an example, last week we had a hybrid session with Gauteng. We have already had series of webinars with different provinces. The only provinces that are left so far, I think, is Free State and Eastern Cape. They postponed the sessions, but then we are still going to reach out to them. Our approach is that once we have those sessions with provincial coordinators, they must in turn also reach out to their stakeholders in different areas. And we have also had written submissions to various organizations, especially youth networks, such as Activate, such as Youth Capital, such as Sonke Justice, such as Black Management Forum, as well as South African Union of Students. They have actually made written submissions, as well as Disability Youth South Africa. So we are continuing to receive submissions on our dedicated email address of the NYDA bill, which we have created. And of course, it is placed also in the website of the NYDA and GCIS, so that they can also receive input. And we have been having joint session as well with the National Youth Development Agency. So the other question was in relation to what are the key comments that have been made so far. First, generally there seems to be support for the executive authority, the cabinet minister as the executive authority for the National Youth Development Agency. You will recall that in terms of the current original act of the NYDA, the president is the executive authority. So there is general support that the executive authority should become a cabinet minister. And then over and above that, the issue of the age and gender representation in the board has also been raised very sharply. And one area which they alluded to is that if a board member reaches the age of 35 before expiry of their term, they should actually cease becoming a member. So this is one of the key comments which have actually been raised. And the representation of gender as well as persons with disabilities within the board is also one area. There is contestation on the issue of the number of, the duration of the board. Remember, the proposal currently is that the duration should be extended from 3 to 5 years. So there seems to be contestation in that. Once we have received all the inputs, we will then make an assessment, and then from there make a determination on issues that have to be considered to be put in the draft bill before we process to cabinet and for tabling in parliament. And
we are still on NYDA bill. Chairperson?
Yes, Chairperson.
I think the other myth that you need to deal with is the mentality or the perception whereby people think that when appointing people to the board of NYDA, all provinces must be represented. I think I'm not sure how
we talk of geographical spread, yes, but people, the way they think of it, they think that when you appoint people in boards, you appoint people according to provinces. And I don't know where does that come from. So I think it's another thing that we need to look at, because if we wanted representation from provinces, we're going to ask the premiers. Well, there was no need for us to have interviews or parliament to consider all those things. People were going to be recommended by premiers if it was going that way. Premiers were going to recommend a representative from their provinces. So I think there are some other things that we need to deal with, because these are the things that are going are creating problems for us. That way, when people are interviewed, then you look at what province is this. No, I think even yourselves, you must help us in that bill, please.
Thanks, Chairperson. Actually, what you just alluded to come a very long way, Chairperson. Chairperson will recall that previously there was even a call for provincial boards, that we should actually have provincial boards and also board members at national level. I would say that I think that the sector is actually moving to a direction where they currently understand that the nature of the entity which we have is actually a national entity. So it is not necessarily a provincial entity. Mm. So, you know, I think on that basis, I will say that actually the articulation currently in the provisions support that the NYDA is a national entity. There will always be, you know, some voices which are actually taking a certain direction in that regard, but then we will be informed more by the general inputs. And in terms of the general inputs which we have received, the issue of provincial representation is not quite emphasized, you know, in the inputs that we have received. And I think that we have reached somewhere, because the reason why this legislation took such a very long time for it to be processed is because we were fighting the issue of the provincial courts. So, you know, I agree that, you know, is something that we will certainly look at, because the national agency is actually a provincial representation. So we will look at the that we have actually received.
Okay, thank you.
And there was also the issue of the national youth policy. Honourable members, Honourable Chairperson, I would like to just emphasise that the National Youth Policy is already a cabinet-approved policy. I'm sure honourable members will recall that on the 4th of November we were called to come to the Portfolio Committee and make presentation on the relationship of the youth unit within the department as well as the NYDA. But then in addition to that, we were asked to zoom into the national youth policy, the consultation and the extent of consultation which we actually undertook from conception until the end. And then Honorable Figile, I think we managed to actually address that specific area in the presentation which we have. But our work in terms of popularizing the Act does not actually reach there. We will be launching the NYDA, the National Youth Policy, 2030 on the 5th of March. So there's going to be a national launch, and we are also going to be popularizing the National Youth Policy we have actually requested Department of Sport, Arts and Culture to translate the National Youth Policy into all official languages, including into Braille. They are currently busy and they promise that by the end of April, that process will be finalized. So domesticating it will assist the National Youth Policy to become more accessible to different stakeholders, including those who cannot necessarily understand or speak English. So, that is also another way in which we will be, promoting access for the National Youth Policy. The launch is going to take a hybrid fashion where we will be, within a venue. But then we are going to be inviting participants to also join virtually. And we did not only limit it to participants within South Africa, it is also going to be participants within the borders of, outside of the borders of South Africa, because we recognize that our development of the policy is in line with international instruments such as the African Youth Charter, as well as the World Program of Action for Youth. So we will also be inviting participants, and the portfolio committee will also be invited to the launch by the minister and the deputy minister on the 5th of March. And then the other comments have already been addressed by the CEO. But then on the issue of monitoring young people who are in high absorption industries, I would like to say that currently in line to give effect to implementation of the National Youth Policy, our department is developing the M&E framework, which actually has got high level indicators, and some of the key indicators are those that are related to employment. And we will be monitoring the 30% set aside of young people in high absorption industries such as agriculture, manufacturing, and tourism when the time is, for an example, as well as in the energy sector. So we will be developing those and make sure that we collect data on a continuous basis. I think those are, some of the key issues that we have alluded to. But then again, in terms of, in terms of high unemployment rate, we previously reported that we are working with DigiTitan on the youth skills project, and we have already presented to the clusters. We will be presenting to cabinet, but then at the same time, our DG is engaging DGs of other departments, such as Department of Basic Education, Department of Digital Technology. We are actually engaging them, and including even civil society, such as Techno Girls, where we are engaging them so that we can partner with them in order to scale up the intervention, particularly of attracting young people in. The DG is also engaging the three metros, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, as well as Gauteng, in terms of the artisan project, which we think has got the capacity to also absorb many young people into employment. Thanks. I think that's
thank
all.
You very much. Thank you very much, Dr. Penis. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you to honorable members. I think the questions and guidance will be incorporated in our ongoing planning. It's really appreciated. My colleagues have responded to most questions, governance, policy, and programs. But I just wanted to say something about youth education and skills development, because that seems to be at the center
of how to fast track the inclusion of youth in the economy. Recently, the president was excited about receiving at long last a document on critical skills that are required to take this country forward. I'm making reference to this because I think beyond governance, policy, and all the critical elements, we have to begin to crunch the numbers in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
If we support young people or the department has put in budgets to prioritize certain sectors, maybe it's an opportunity for NYDA to really crunch the numbers in terms of opportunities that have been given to young people per geographical area, per sector, almost something similar to what we are doing with the COVID-19. We talk in a scientific way, because if we do not do that, that's why we'll spend a lot of time when we account, and maybe it's not clear, did we reach out all the vulnerable communities? Did we do this? So I hope we, as we move forward, we'll have to improve and be able to locate beneficiaries in such a way that a person who is not part of programming, of running the program, can get a feel of what is going on. Chairperson, with regard to NSFAS, I think it's another opportunity for really NYDA to assist. NSFAS is a massive program with a lot of problems. Sometimes they emanate from poor administration in the institutions of learning. Sometimes the NSFAS office itself not being able to, irrespective of having a call center, not being able to respond on time. There are numerous appeals. Some people who have been rejected and they want to know why they were rejected, and they are still waiting. They are in the waiting room. When registration takes place, they can't register. So it's one area, if possible, which I think we'll have to look at, because it undermines everything we aspire to do. You cannot empower the youth if you neglect educational and skills opportunities, because that's where it all begins. It's either you are a winning nation or you begin to set a tone for dropouts or problems and so on. But also, you know, Chairperson, NYDA has come a long way. I think when we first came at the beginning of the administration, they tended to be grants-driven. They were getting grants from X, Y, Z, this department, this. And really, it was difficult to measure impact. I think we're at the point now where we have to align very closely with the economic recovery plan. Not only entrepreneurs and new entrants. That the advocates, we must create awareness. The master plans that are signed by departments, they don't lead to activism. They are neutral, they are dead, they are clean. But I think the NYDA has an opportunity to analyze and be able to put it back to offering departments and say, in terms of land ownership, we want young people in percentages in these areas, in rural areas, in areas owned by tribal authorities to own land. Even when it comes to production, it's the same thing. We have to be clear about our own targets and keep on agitating all the way through, because nobody disputes the giving of opportunities to youth. But as to the impact, the quality, I think that's where, as NYDA, we come in very strongly with our youthful ability to point to gaps and weaknesses in our systems. Comrades, honorable members, there's this also issue that we really, if we talk about new entrants, of course, a lot has been said here about agriculture and land reform. Industrialization. In most countries which have turned the tide in a positive direction for youth inclusion in the economy, they've taken industrialization program very, very seriously, and again put down the numbers, the location, the sector where young people have been planted and monitored as to their throughput. So I think we will engage further with the CEO so that in our recording and reporting, we also look very carefully at the job drivers and the new opportunities where there's already a budget. It's a question of just fighting for the allocation of young people. I mentioned education earlier. I didn't say much about young people with disabilities. Sometimes these issues, honorable members, you think it's understood, everything is well. Then you get this call to say, we're really struggling. You know, we're on our own. There are these issues that affect young people persons with disabilities in this institution, but we are not getting support. So we really have to, we will continue to be vigilant and to support the CEO as much as possible on all these issues, so that whenever we report, we are able to talk to specifics around issues of vulnerable groups in society. On the whole, I think I looked at the responses from the DG and everybody. We benefited, Chairperson. We'll continue to have our own side issues on these issues so as to look better and better. But just the last one, on the history where people were calling for provincial boards of the NYDA. It was really out of frustration, Chairperson, where people felt that the NYDA was a club of a few friends. And because of lack of clarity in terms of beneficiaries, where they were coming from, where they were located, and with what opportunities, that's where people started talking about those. But I think we have long gone beyond that. So we just have to make sure that our policy doesn't create a confusion where we take a voice which says, oh, maybe people must come from all the provinces. Then we regress, because that will really be regression. Instead of using programming to reach out to all the corners, we start thinking if we have people deployed by their premiers, then that will solve the problem. It will not. It's programming and locating people, even today, even using the you know, the this district development module. It's another opportunity of locating programs, all programs we adopt, be it on education, manufacturing, industrialization, whatever it is, but per district up to a community level. So I just wanted to make sure that here in this meeting we're in agreement. Even our policy is aligned with the thinking that we've moved away from thinking that provincial appointments will solve the problem. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, DM. I think the other project or the program that I was thinking that we need to, NYDA needs to take advantage of it is that the one of sanitary dignity packs. You know, sanitary dignity packs, DM and DG and CEO, it's used by young people. Those that are from the needy families, and I don't understand why are we not grabbing that opportunity and say, in fact, you know, you present something to cabinet and say, why can't it be taken, be given to young people and women? Because I think that is another project that can benefit and young people and women economically, because obviously it will have accommodate women, young people, and young people who are living with a disability in all provinces, and you are going to be able to account for it and account on who have you empowered. Who is benefiting from this project? From this project, rather than it being left there and provinces are doing whatever that they are doing, and we are not. We invited provinces to come and account on that program. There are still three provinces who haven't accounted for it, and even from the look of things, you can see that it's like, even if they say a woman, you find that in most provinces it's benefiting males. So it's like that project, it's not even benefiting the intended beneficiaries. So for us as the portfolio committee, I think if it can be changed and benefit goes to the right people who are supposed to be benefiting from it, I think we'll be very much happy at DM. We must be sure what is it that you want. So if that one also, you can put it like the one of agriculture, go back to your drawing board and think about it on how do we want this project, whether it goes to young people, and it must benefit people with disabilities, young people who are living with disabilities must benefit from it. And it must just be clear and specific, DM, rather than what we saw when we invited provinces to come and make a presentation to the portfolio committee. And at the end of the day, our young people are not benefiting from it, but there is an opportunity that NYDA can use to benefit, to empower our young people economically. I saw a hand of Honorable Mpiti. Yeah, I think I saw a hand of
Masondo.
Oh no, Honorable Masondo. Is there any other hand? This is the last round. Honorable Sheriff? Okay, in that order, thank you very much, Honourable Members. It's only three members. Honourable Mpiti?
Hi, Chair. I don't know if I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible.
I hope I am. I'm just having a bit of a network problem.
Okay.
Can you indicate, Chair, if I'm audible?
You are audible.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to come in essentially on the point around the provincial boards, and just to add that I don't think at least from my side, I don't think the Corps has ever been, you know, in this current term, that there must be provincial boards for the NYDA. In fact, I think that would put further strain on our fiscus, and actually won't give us, you know, the requisite requirements that we are trying to achieve in terms of youth unemployment and support of young entrepreneurs. But I think the call is stipulated within the NYDA Act, in Section 9, Subsection 4, which speaks to the geographical spread, and legally that then binds the committee as well as the NYDA to have a geographical spread that is representative of South African youth in the country. So it is a legal subsection within the Act of the NYDA. So I just wanted to correct that, because it's something that is the law. Thank you.
Titi, we're not disagreeing with what the Act says. But it's like people, they think when they come to interviews, we must say, now, this one is from West Africa. Come there and you know, we are not the one who's responding on behalf of candidates when they are being questioned by the panel. So because we don't want to find ourselves in a situation whereby people, they think we must do magic. So what Dr. Penis was trying to explain is that we know, they know the Act, we know what the Act says, and obviously there's no way, Honorable Mpiti, that geographical spread. That's how I understood her. Honorable Sheriff.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, it's not a follow-up question. I just wanted to give to attention that the youth that was assisted by the NYDA in our area is mixed. They are from ISP, ANC, and other parties. Not that maybe we are focusing on ANC only, because the notion is like, it seems like Mam Sonto was talking as if there is one party that is dominating to all the projects. No, it's not like that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Sheriff?
Thank you, Chairperson. This is for the CEO. I must admit that I am interested in the relationship between NYDA and the South African Youth Council. So I wanted to find out from the CEO if he is able to provide the committee with the MOUs signed between the two organizations, and basically stipulating what each organization brings to the table and what are the budgetary implications for the NYDA when it comes to the South African Youth Council. Chairperson, it's just so that I have a proper understanding of how the two organizations work together, and if the CEO can send through that information, it would be appreciated. Chairperson, on the second note,
is there information that you have maybe that you haven't shared with us, so that at least we must be on the same plate, because you see, Honorable Sheriff, there are many civil society organizations. So maybe what we also need to get to, why specifically a South African Youth Council?
Well, because it's an umbrella organization, Chairperson. So all the other youth organizations fall within the umbrella of the South African Youth Council. And so that's why I'm interested in the relationship. And the information I'm requiring from the CEO is the only information that I will have, Chairperson. In terms of the second point, Chair, I would like to fully agree with you in terms of the hemp industry. I have a passion when it comes to the sector, and just to back up what you said, it is a fact that big business are the people who are getting licenses to manufacture, to produce, and to grow cannabis. And this is very concerning because once you start having monopolies of industries, many people get left behind. And I just wanna urge the NYDA to take this extremely seriously in order to ensure that young people have access. Mm-hmm. And I think access is the biggest part. Access to the application of their licenses, access to resources that they may need, access to water to grow their plants, access to greenhouses, access to lights and hydro mechanics tools that are used to grow cannabis, because oftentimes young people are left out of the economy unless they're well connected. So I just wanted to find out from the CEO, what are some of the, to tell young people at this meeting who is watching it, how do they go about contacting the NYDA so that the NYDA can assist in the application process for the license. Thank you.
Okay. I think the other question that I did not hear whether they have responded is with regards to the ICT. Have they responded? You'll pardon me. Maybe it was, I didn't hear that one. What was the response again? My apologies for that, CEO.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe just clarity, what was the question on ICT?
By the way, who asked the question for us? It seems you have a challenge or a problem.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yes, I apologize. I did not respond, Chair. So we had a system issue with the service provider. We subsequently resolved it in the third quarter, and that's why we're confident we'll achieve the target. Yeah. So we have managed to resolve that through our ICT department. Also, just in addition to responding to Honorable Sharif's questions, I will gladly share the MOU with the South African Youth Council with the committee secretary, and then she can share it with members. And then the other question on how to get in touch, I mean, I think there's multiple ways to get in touch with the NYDA. It's through the access points, the 34 offices, via the phone, in person, online, through the website. And really, if a young person feels like they're not reaching out, I've also made it welcome to the committee members to share my cell phone number or my email address, and they can reach out to me directly if they feel they're not getting assistance from the NYDA. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. We are done, honourable members. No, there's no other hand. Thank you very much, CEO, DM, DG, and all the honourable members who were part of this meeting, today's meeting. And I think we have come to the end of our meeting. So to say, we want, as the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, we want to congratulate all the matriculants that have passed, and we're wishing them well, so that even those that did not make it, they must try again. They must not lose hope. In life, there's always a second chance. We know that it was not easy because COVID was something that has never happened before, and even for our school learners, it was difficult for them to study at home. Some of them didn't even have those gadgets. They had to depend on borrowing from other people. But hopefully this year, the situation might be better than last year, but we wish them well. And thank you very much, honorable members. Our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair. 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 Thank you, Chair.